This is Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills, Heartbody Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and the mentally irregular Doc Turner. This podcast is a mix of your topics and thoughts in the world of pro wrestling, along with interviews and discussions with current independent stars and your favorite stars from the past. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
I'm quite sure many of you are first-time listeners of the Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast, given that this week's guest is the legendary and world-famous One Man Gang. We hope you enjoy the show and consider tuning in to the podcast weekly. We like to have a good time by semi-insulting each other, sometimes insulting listeners, at least Doc Turner does in his case. But it's always a good time and fun and games from Harper and I, Hardbody Harper and I. Doc Turner, he's another story in itself. So like I said, we got part one of three this week with the legendary One Man Gang. And I'm also joined by the former ECW star, Global Wrestling Federation star, the California stud Rod Price, slash Hardway Rod Price, slash Rugged Rod Price during his ECW days. He joined me to record with the gang. But before we get to that, Doc, since you haven't been here in 2 weeks, I'm sure you are still as miserable as ever, but I will ask, how are you doing?
Shut up. I spent the time off figuring out how to get angrier, pissier, and more surly. So let me tell you something right now. I was thinking about it. How can I come back to the show and give my fans exactly what they deserve? And about 2 hours ago, the motherfucking power went off in my house. I'm sitting in a dark, pitch-black room, and I know I don't sound like my normal self. I sound like Ric Flair on his podcast, like I'm dialing in from 333 The Moon. So,
DraftKings.com.
Yeah. But it could be worse. My Dallas Cowboys could be eliminated from playoff contention. We're back.
Harper, how you doing? You want to address this fool with that nonsense he's spitting out?
What's their record now?
One game out of first.
That's crazy, huh? God, the whole division's full of garbage, huh?
It's a tire fire, dude. It's a heap of shit.
We're 4-7, huh?
No, we're 4-8, dude.
We're 4-8.
Everybody's 4-8, but we beat them, so right. We have that Trump.
Well, the Saints are 4-8, and they're garbage.
Yeah, I mean, we got, but hey, we can admit to it.
Yeah,
this frickin' jackass calling in from the frickin' moon, he can't admit to garbage. We can admit to
it. Hey, we're going up to Lambeau on Sunday. Matt Castle's going to spin a gym. We're going to walk out of there 23-17 and be 5-8. Shocking the world.
How much dope did you smoke before you freaking got on the phone?
Oh, come on, man.
While you sitting on the moon? Because, I mean, you higher than giraffe pussy right now. All right. Let's get to rolling, dude. We got to talk about some wrestling because that's the purpose of the podcast. If you listen to Doc, you think it's about freaking sports and football. But we're going to leave that stuff.
Hey, hold on. After I watched that three-hour shit show last night called Raw, we might as well talk about football.
I don't think it was that bad.
I'm glad you said that. Go ahead, Harper. What'd you think about it? The whole 3 hours.
I think it was one of the best Raws in quite some time because it started off, you know, on fire, and I think it was one of the best ones. It seemed like it was less promos.
I will say this: it started off like a bat out of hell.
Yeah.
I mean, if you paid it, I clocked it. The first 45 minutes was nothing but action. Now, they went to commercial a million times, but it was nothing but action. So they came out the gates strong, and I think, like, that's what they're going to do from now on. It seems like they're like, we're going to go out the gates strong.
Well, they got to do something, man, because they're dropping.
Right. But I will say this. The last hour, yeah. Like, if you would have told me to rate the first 2 hours, I probably would have gave it like a 7.5, maybe an 8. But the last hour, I was kind of friggin' bored. I can't lie. I kind of lost my attention.
I kept waiting on someone to come out from underneath the ring to attack Sheamus because it seemed like he kept trying to drag him closer and closer to the ring. And the way those tables were set up, it would seem like someone was hiding there. But, you know.
Right. That drug on, to me, that drug on forever. Yeah. But Doc hated it. So I'll let you crap on it real quick, Doc, before we get to the questions, because you made it sound earlier like you were just, I hate this. I hate life. I hate the world. So go ahead and tell us about it.
I just don't think anything makes sense. I think if you're going to have four teams of four in the ring, right after Survivor Series, that makes no sense. No, none. And
you've been reading the dirt sheets today, huh?
All day long, even with the power out. Got my little flashlight out.
I bet.
No, it just that you're right. That third hour, God Almighty, you could have. If you lop that off, then I'll give the other 2 hours a better rating. But you bring Tyler Breeze out, he doesn't do anything. It's just nothing makes sense.
I'm not going to say nothing makes
League
sense.
League of Nations,
but
I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't buy into that either.
I gotta. It's the second week of it. I'm gonna give them 3 to 4 more weeks before I can say I'm not buying it. Because I want to see
not?
If they're gonna
you
tell
gave it a 7.5 a minute ago. You must have had a lot of shit you like.
The first 2 hours were good. The last one, not so much. I mean,
all right. I don't want to.
The last hour drug on, especially the Reigns and Sheamus segment. I didn't feel like Harper like feeling that somebody was gonna come out.
Yeah.
But I did kind of feel to myself, dang, this shit's dragging. What's like? It just to set up a go home spot for a pay per view, man. Look, I've never been in that spot. I've never called that angle. I just
you
know
sure,
how
you,
like
you sure use that industry term, go home spot.
Well, no, I mean, it's like this, though. Okay, I would equate it to independent wrestling. In independent wrestling, if I'm trying to hook the fans to come to my next show, man, I'm not going to drag stuff along like that at the very end of my show. And the point that you're trying to go home, you're trying to drag them in or give them a reason to want to tune in on Sunday, that just felt like it dragged. And then this leads me into this next thing. And I'm going to ask you first, Doc, who – Does Roman Reigns win the title?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
Harper,
no.
What you think?
You don't see him winning it?
Mm-mm. Nope. Bruh.
I might see it. I think he's going to win it.
I do too, Harper.
Yeah.
I think he wins. I think they put it on him finally.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It doesn't make sense to me that like they'd be flipping it too quick, but I think he wins it. Just my opinion. Doc, you don't agree, though?
I don't know. I don't think it matters either way. And it ain't the last hour. It was the last 75 minutes because they couldn't wrap that shit up straight up at the hour. They had to go 15 minutes over with that crap.
They did. They did.
Yeah, it did go long.
It did. It was almost – I thought it was almost 20 after 10.
Yeah.
Our time.
Come to the ring. Come closer.
Will you ever look at tater tots the same way ever again?
Tater tots.
That's just stupid, too.
Bro, you sound like you on the moon. That shit's stupid, too. All right, hey, I got to get to these questions. Like, I have to get to some of them. So I really only wanted to predict that one thing. If there's another one you want to predict, that's fine. But Harper and I got Reigns. You got Sheamus. We'll figure it out next week once we come back and see who was right. But I got to get to these questions. So, Doc, if there's any other ones you want to preview and predict before we get out of here, just remind me. A couple questions or statements. Dougie on Facebook. Oh, boy. Harper, this guy likes you.
He says,
I agree with Hard Body Harper from last week. I'd like to climb on top of that mountain called Tamina, and goddamn, I'd like to butter Naomi and Sasha's bread while I'm at
it. Cool. Hey.
this dude's been listening to me. I use that term, butter bread. Anyway, so you got somebody that agrees with you on that one.
There you go.
That's exactly right.
No, hey, man, Double H wants to tongue punch her fart box.
Huh?
I said, you want a tongue punch her fart box.
Wow. That's that's real classy.
Hey, man, I'm back. I might
He's
be at
back.
The moon, but I'm back.
He might be at the moon. next one. You guys always talk about this one's for you, Doc. I'm gonna let you address this. You guys always talk about how great ROH is. We've gotten this question before, but I'm gonna ask it. I'm sorry. This is from David. You guys always talk about how great ROH is. I don't get it. Why is it so great?
Well, Doc? I think the first thing is that you can get past the lighting, you can get past a lot of things, but to me, when I watch it for that hour, in all seriousness, it is the closest thing I have found, other than ECW in its prime in the ECW arena, to a territory, really well done territory from the mid to late 80s. And for that reason, when I'm done watching it, they put a lot of emphasis on the in-ring product. They're getting after it. There's still some storylines. Is it perfect? No. Is it as good as ECW in the mid to late 90s? I don't know. Probably not. But for today, it's the most enjoyable hour of wrestling I watch each week.
I like the hour of it. Harper, I know you don't tune into it, but did you see the Future of Honor post that
with Shane Taylor? Post,
yeah, Shane Taylor and Keith. Doc, I hadn't talked to you, but Shane Taylor and Keith Lee were on. I don't know if you get that just from a subscription with Ring of Honor. I have no clue, but they posted it and you know, Shane's the
I think it's on their website or something.
It might be. I'll show it to you, Doc. I'll send it to you. But freaking Keith Lee, I've seen that dude wrestle in person before. I didn't know he could do that.
Bruh, he was moving around. Dude, he can move.
Yeah, it was an ROH match. It was against, Harper, help me out. Who was the guy?
The hell's his
name? Bob Evans. It was Evans and somebody else. Anyway, they won. They won the match. They're a tag team, Doc. And, man, you got to see, this guy Keith Lee is huge. And he freaking dives off the top rope, over the top from the floor, kind of like the old Undertaker deal, except he does a flip over it. Kind of hard to explain. But anyway, things like that. I mean, they emphasize, ROH does, they emphasize the in-ring stuff. Now, my next question or thought from someone, Jonathan says, the Young Bucks are the best team in ROH. When will they get belts?
First of all, no, they're not.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're the best team. You can't tell me Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, and Kazarian aren't good in the Kingdom as well. But the Young Bucks, I said this the other day to you, Doc. They drive me up the wall. God damn. How many fucking times can you super kick somebody?
Yeah, for real, huh?
Bro.
Ding, ding. Here's the match. Ding, ding. Super kick.
How many super kicks did they have in that match Saturday, Doc?
They skipped the opening lockup and went straight to super kicking people.
Dude, ain't no joke on, bro. Dude, I had it. I'm going to go back and count it if I didn't delete it. It had to be 30 super kicks from them in the match. Combined, both of them, obviously, not individually. But I don't think they're the best team. So, Jonathan, sorry I can't help you. When will they get the belts? I don't know. 6 months from now, since they did sign that long-term contract, they'll have them within 6 months. But if I'm booking it, I don't give it to them now. And Harper, we got something from Amy.
What's up, girl?
Amy. Hard Body Harper. I'm serious. When can I come play Contra with Hard Body Harper?
Yesterday.
I may not be thick like the girls down in NOLA, but I can hold my own.
I try to look past it, sweetheart. Come on.
For the record,
bring your controller.
Bring your controller. What if she wants to use your stick?
Hey, come on, man.
Oh, Amy did not have a wrestling question or comment. She just wants to come play Contra with Hard Body Harper. Mm. Oh, damn. For the record, that picture that Amy, God, I shouldn't have deleted it so I could screen capture it.
What's it, J-Lo or something?
Dude, she's Walmart scooter thick.
Oh, really?
She's 5 feet tall and 5 feet wide. She's a damn player.
I mean, whether she's walking or rolling, it's all the same.
Damn, right?
God. I ain't right for that one, dog.
She probably comes from a good family, man. Come on.
She probably is. She's probably a good girl, man.
Yeah.
She probably make you put a ring on it. I don't know what size ring, but yeah.
Come on, man.
Oh, dude, we got all kind of people trolling you. Derek says, Hardbody. Hardbody was talking about that chick in a 60-minute Broadway and rest hole, but I bet when it comes down to it, he has nothing but a bunch of false finishes. That girl needs to hit me up if she wants to play some Contra.
Yeah. Get a sunset flip and I ain't kicking out.
Hey, Jason's going to be glad that? I'm back to take all the heat off of his ass.
He got the heat, dude. They love Harper, dude. I don't get no kind of attention. I wonder if it's because, I admit that I'm married on here, man. I mean, I'd like somebody to throw a little something at me sometime. I mean, I ain't going to do nothing about
it. Yeah, whatever, bro.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right. I'm not against the League of Nations. I just don't know why they are teaming up. And when did Rusev stop being from Russia and Del Rio from Mex-America? He stopped being from Russia a while back, but Del Rio just gave up Mex-America last night. Speaking of which, was I the only one who was waiting for him to kick over Zeb in that cart?
I didn't see that. Nah.
Doc, you saw that part?
He's not with him anymore?
I felt bad for Zeb because he just kind of motored off in a scooter twice for Swagger and for Del Rio. But I was hoping that if he wasn't going to push him out of the cart, at least when he scooted off in his scooter, when he threw that chair after him, if it had hit him with it, that'd have been awesome.
Yeah, they appear. Let me say this: they appeared to have broken up last night.
Well, I mean, at least they figured out that they fucked up, and they're trying to bring out the pencil has an eraser on it here.
Yeah, I mean that's what I took from it. But yeah, they appear to have broken up now. Who knows? I mean, they might swerve us, like the fans like to say. Who knows? All right. This guy, God, what the hell? I can't even read. I wrote the name next to it, and I can't even read it. It looks like John, but I could be wrong. Opening segment was stupid. 16-man car crash. I didn't feel that way.
I didn't.
Harper, did you?
I thought it
way?
Was cool.
I did, too. I mean, it was a lot of people involved, but the way they did it and presented it, I thought it was fine. I mean, I'll tell you this much. I guarantee you haven't seen 45 minutes of that much excitement at the beginning of a Raw in a long time.
Yeah.
Because it was not a 20-minute promo like usual.
You two cum rags. I said, in my absence, I said, hold on, you two. In my absence, I listened to the show as much as I could. And just last week, you two morons were talking about if you're going to have 11 minutes, because they had the 7-on-4 tag or whatever. If you're going to have 11 men out there, it's got to be a battle royal. Y'all said it. And this week, 16 men. Wasn't that awesome?
I didn't say that. You're lying.
Y'all need
totally
to pick a side.
He's right, but we didn't say that.
Yeah.
We said the way they did it, the way they set it up, where it was 11 people, 6-on-5.
Right.
We said the whole setup of it at the main event was stupid the way they did it. This wasn't set up the same way because you had one faction come out, then you had another come out, then you had another come out, then you had another come out. So the way you
and
did
the
it, the way
collapsed.
They set it. No, man. Now, I'm not going to sit there and say the match was the greatest thing known to man because you got 16 freaking guys in there. So it kind of, I'm not going to tell you that was my favorite match of all time, but I don't think it was car crash type. That wasn't a car crash. I've seen car crashes. I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes Ring of Honor tag matches are car crashes. You never know who's the freaking legal man. Worse than the way ECW was. But nah, we didn't say that. Dude, what the hell were you doing? Lack of sleep does cause problems like that.
Drinking this, Jack, what do you call that stuff? Like Pediasure?
Pediasure, yeah. Yeah.
Check the tapes.
Check. They don't. It's not on tapes. It's all digital now, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, did you not know that? The reason I can call you from this by this means tonight is digital. You know, I can call you digitally. Ain't no line. There's no line going to you, Mr.
I don't follow.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't. Hey, I got a bone to pick with you before we get up out this sumbitch too. Before I forget, hold on. Gotta plug the sponsors. Jason Smith, Farmers Insurance. If you like Doc and need to save some money on your home coverage or your car or any other health insurance, whatever you got, give my buddy Jason a call at Farmers, 972-834-2516. If you live anywhere in the state of Texas where he's licensed, I am almost willing to guarantee he can save you some money.
To call him up. I need him to get my electricity back on. Damn.
He ain't got nothing to do with that. But anyway, Jason can be reached at 972-834-2516. His email at jason@goodguyllc.com. Also want to say thanks to Teenage Wrestling Palace for all of their support. Give them a call, 469-337-8537. And then our friends from Better Choices, which, hey, Doc, did you hear us last week? Someone from Adam actually contacted Better Choices. I think it was
someone
a rib.
From Adam. What the hell does that mean?
I mean, someone named Adam contacted Better Choices.
So what? There's lots of people named Adam.
No, they said they were Adam from the podcast.
Oh, well, I'm glad to see that punk motherfucker get his life together.
That's real classy. Yeah. Real, real classy. But give my friends from Better Choices a call. Look them up online, www.betterchoices.co. They'll help you lose some weight. They'll help you get your health back in order, especially during this time of year. They're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest. At Better Choices CEO. I appreciate you, Eric and Malika, for sponsoring the show. Thanks for all that you do. Thanks for plugging the show, even on your own podcast. And, you know, letting the fans know, hey, when they tune in, they're going to get something raw and explicit, because that's just how we roll around here. All right, I got the sponsors out the way. And I got to make sure I cover, where was I at? Oh, Chip, your buddy Chip, Doc. Chip said, so I guess Doc is on top
I don't
of the
know any. I don't know any Chips.
Oh, you know a Chip. I guess Doc is on top of the world since the Cowgirls won. All they did was mess up a top five pick. But there's still time for them to lose enough games to get there. Ha, ha, ha. Hashtag terrible towel forever. You want to address your buddy Chip Doc? Leave it to you, dude.
Hey, no man, comment. Let me tell you something. In this league, you play until you're eliminated. So the Saints, you guys can pretty much quit. But my team is still in the race. And you try to get in the tournament and do what you can. And that's what we're doing. Matt Castle, he's led us for 60 straight minutes. Dez Bryant's a warrior. We stayed committed to the run. We were opportunistic when it mattered. And guess what? We're going to Lambeau next week, and we're going to shock the world. 23-17, book that shit.
You said that already. Is there a reason you felt the need to repeat it?
They say studies have shown you got to repeat something almost 6 to 7 times for people to understand it. Now, for our listeners, that's probably about 12 to 13. So, they're never going to remember this.
Okay. Are you done? Just want to make sure before we move on.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Good. Very good. All right. Here's the deal, y'all. Got two more Twitter mentions to get through, and then we're pretty much out of here. We got a quick show, because I know that you all do not want to listen to us as much as you want to listen to the One Man Gang for a good hour of time.
I'm ready to go to Halstead Street, fool.
Bro, wait till you hear this. I mean, you guys haven't heard it yet, but it's just pure, utter, great storytelling from two freaking old dudes.
Old. Rod Price. Wow. Real respect.
Rod Price. Rod Price is gonna kill me if he hears that, but yeah, it's too. Just man, it was gold. It was gold. All right. This is from James Lee on Twitter. In response to where the WWE goes after the first hour, because I had tweeted out, man, what are they gonna do after the first hour? Because like Harper said, and like I said, I thought the first hour, I was like, holy crap, man, they really, you know, they threw everything up against the wall, man. They wanted to make sure they were entertaining. James said, the only thing that would make it better is if the Bullet Club invades and leaves WWE in chaos and leaves the fans speechless like the night Ivan Koloff won the title in Madison Square Garden. Also, the first 1.5 hours was great. Then things just fell apart. Basically, what they did was they sent out all of the talent again, which I will say that. Did you notice that, Harper, how, like, everybody was used in the first segment?
Yeah.
So they sent them back out. I don't like when they do that, because I will say that's something that just kind of irks me when it comes to pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, if you're people doing 20 million run-ins. And I understand they got a hurt roster and there's a lot of people out. But at the same time, man, they just
– Hey, man, where's Sandow and Curtis Axel and Heath Slater and Zack Ryder and all those fools? Get them out there. Next man up.
That's true, though, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they don't have people back there that they couldn't send out. We didn't get one question about this, but I want to ask this before we get out of here. Harper, what do you think about Ziggler and Owens?
I thought it was a real good match. I mean, I enjoyed it. It just sucks when they went to fucking commercial. Dude, I can't stand that shit, bro.
It drives me up a wall.
It drives me crazy. You go to commercial during a match. And my thing is, when it comes back on, did a whole bunch of other crap happen? That
yeah.
So, like, you've been seeing all kinds of spots and all kinds of selling and stuff that.
Well, I know when I went to Raw in Dallas this year, I can tell you when I watched back some of it on the DVR, I can tell you when they went to commercial, they do tend to, you know, grab a couple rest holes and don't too much.
So
they're pretty cued into the fact that they're at commercial. The guys in the ring are. I mean, it's freaking produced. I mean,
right,
it's,
yeah.
It's overly produced. Yeah. So they're kind of tuned into it. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, they're still going to do some things that, you know, from a high spot perspective that ends up not being on TV. Doc, you about to say something?
I was going to say it's better than Cody Rhodes and Jack Swagger coming back from commercial and they're already wrestling.
That was crazy. They joined them in mid-match. Like, there was
they
no
sure
announcement.
Did.
That was insane.
It's one thing to not get your ring entrance, but shit, to not even get the bell? God damn.
You just turn on and there it is, a headlock takeover. What? What is this?
I never understood, like, you know, Harper, you said this a million times, I think, at this point on the show. You got 3 hours of time. There's plenty of time in that 3 hours to go to commercial. Plenty of time. If you think of some of the stuff they put out there.
Yeah.
So why you gotta, I mean, that first match, dude, I think they had 4 commercials during
that. Yeah, for real.
It is what it is. But hey, none of us work for WWE.
I like how he sold his shoulder. That was nice to see someone selling something.
He sells good, though. I mean, a lot of people actually say he oversells, but I don't think he does.
I don't think he oversells. I mean, no one sells. That's why it looks like he's overselling, because he's the only guy doing it.
That's a good point. I don't think he oversells. I think it's very demonstrative. I think we're talking about Ziggler, anybody who's listening is like, who? I think he's demonstrative. I think he does probably, you know, go a little overboard, but I'm fine with that. I'd rather that than
nothing. Yeah.
Well, some of these dudes take a big bump and
2 seconds later, it's like nothing happened.
Nothing happened to them. They take a freaking spike DDT and then they're like, oh, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah,
like,
shake that shit off.
Exactly. Or they've been getting their arm worked on for 5 minutes straight.
Yeah.
And they go throwing punches and it's like, oh, my arm don't hurt.
Yeah.
No more.
What? They put some tussin on it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, put some tussin for real. Put the tussin on it. Let me see. I got to make sure y'all check out ProWrestlingOpinion.com. Follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Facebook.com/BookingTheTerritory. We appreciate everyone who has already followed us on Twitter and liked us on Facebook. And make sure you keep sending in your Facebook and Twitter topics. I did not have enough time to cover all of them that we got submitted to us, Doc and I. Also, if you don't want to miss parts 2 and 3 with the One Man Gang, subscribe on iTunes, Podbean.com, or Stitcher. That way you automatically get it downloaded to whatever the heck you listen to us on. Let's see. That's pretty much all I got. Doc, did I miss anything from the questions I sent to you earlier today that we got that you wanted to cover? Because I don't think I did, but if I did, man, just refresh my memory, you know, since I know you, you're pretty vibrant these days with a newborn kid and all.
Hey, I just want to say thanks to all my thousands of fans that sent me well wishes while I was out. You know, paternity leave from Booking the Territory, and it's great to be back, not to be with you guys, but to just give my fans what they deserve.
Boy, you ain't got no fans, man.
Bro, you ought to get t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com.
Yeah, Doc, why don't you get on that?
I got stacks of cards and letters from the fans.
Doc, just so you know, you need 5,000 Twitter followers. I'm sorry, a combined 5,000 Twitter and Instagram followers to get you a Pro Wrestling Tees shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees.
Oh, dear, really?
Now, I don't think you have 5,000, Doc, but you ought to petition them for a pass on that.
I'm like 20 of them short.
Maybe I will, because I don't do Twitter or Instagram, so I don't really know what those are too much. So I'd have to get some sort of waiver, I guess.
Yeah, you would, and I can tell you right now they'll deny you. And everybody out there, while we're talking about Pro Wrestling Tees, the One Man Gang now has a shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees. So just go to their website, search One Man Gang, and you will find it. He's got a shirt. I think they're like $19.99. I'm kind of glad the gang's got him, because when I was talking to him, he was literally selling shirts, but you had to send him a money order.
Damn.
In a prepaid self-addressed stamp.
Wow.
So he can send it back to you.
1985.
Yeah. Dude, he's still doing that, actually, but now you don't have to go that route. You can actually get the Pro Wrestling Tees. They got two designs I think they made for
you. I'll wear that.
Hell yeah, man. I rock the gang shirt, man. OMG's cool, man. He was stiff back in the day, bro, but he's a cool dude, man. I'm very appreciative that he did the show. But, hey, I just got two quick plugs, being that you all, Harper, announced ODB, Old Dirty Bastard.
Right, yeah.
And Brian Kendrick for the January 9th show at Grace King High School, 7 p.m. bell time. I will keep everyone posted as more information is found out about
Hold
that.
On. Did you say Old Dirty Bastard? Old Dirty Bastard
yeah.
did.
No.
Whatever.
You mean
whatever.
ODB, like the lady wrestler?
Oh, dear God.
The lady wrestler? What are you, five?
I was, yeah, what are you, five?
She's a lady wrestler.
ODB. ODB is on the card at Wildcat. Don't let Doc, interrupt me again, please. Yeah, she's on the show on January 9th. Also, Sunday, December 13th, Ardmore, Oklahoma, Ardmore Middle School, Raymond Rowe and Teenage Rebel will be there. At 7 o'clock. That's Imperial Wrestling Revolution. And I got one more plug. Main Event Pro Wrestling takes their show on the road. Doc, stop breathing into your phone. December the 12th at Patterson, Louisiana Civic Center, bell time, 6 p.m. Big Daddy Yum Yum, Matt Justice, Manimo, Buku Dao. I think Luke's on the card as well.
Yeah.
You going to that show, Harper?
Nah.
Man, what the hell wrong with you, man?
I got things to do, man. I'm a grown-ass
man.
Huh? Yeah. Parole violation.
That's it, man. Y'all got anything y'all want to plug before I get up out of here?
No. Hair plugs. That's it.
Hair plug?
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. You got to get on that. Hey, we are I didn't want to miss this. We going to run a campaign for Hard Body Harper to get him some knee pads. So if you want to donate to the podcast, here's what I'll do. Because Harper's struggling right now. Here's what I'll do. If you, for every dollar you donate, I'm going to match that dollar so I can get Harper some knee pads.
There you go.
That fit him. Because Harper says his calves, I mean, he acts like he's freaking, a Walmart scooter and type with his calves where they just too big. He can't fit knee pads.
I hate putting on pants, bro, because I can't get them over my damn legs.
Well, how you going to play contra with Amy then? I mean,
work something out.
Y'all work something out?
Yeah.
I mean, what if she wants to get in some type of pretzel position? Oh, you know, you can't bend your knees. That's class. All right. So I'm taking up a fund for Harper and some knee pads. Knee pads ain't expensive. $40 gets some nice brute ones, as I recall. But we're going to take up a collection. So for every dollar you donate, I'm gonna contribute a dollar so Harper can get him some knee pads. That fit him. And then we'll work on getting him a singlet
there
as well.
There you go.
Maybe a new suit, because his suit is getting kind of old, too. He's getting kind of buff, so he's not fitting it as well.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. That's all I got. Hey, we appreciate y'all tuning in every week as usual. Thank you. Share us on Facebook. Like us. Follow us on Twitter. All that good stuff. And pretty much at this point, I'm going to throw it over to part one of a three-parter with the One Man Gang and Rod Price. Hang tight, everybody.
Hey, I didn't say this before I started, but if for some reason we do get disconnected, just call back in. It keeps recording even though it died. So
hey, we get disconnected. You out of luck, buddy.
Oh, hey, we're pros, man. We've done the pre-match to a pay-per-view. We know all the ins and outs, buddy.
Exactly.
Yeah, y'all know.
Let's go. I ain't got all night.
Oh. So if the listeners haven't figured it out at this point, I got One Man Gang and Rod Price on the line. If you'd have told me in the 80s and early 90s I'd be talking to both of you on the phone, I would have pinched myself. But anyway, so with that being said, y'all all right tonight?
You weren't born until 1975.
I've been watching. I remember you in early Mid South.
Green in your diaper.
I was. You ain't lying. You're not lying.
Go ahead there, Jeff.
Hey, Rod. Do you mind?
His mother used to put him up to the TV while he's in the crib, so you know he's counting that.
That's right.
Wish I'd said that.
I count it all. Hey, Rod. Do you mind? Gang was telling me the story about your head that he mentioned on that message that he called you on that message that we sent between each other. But he didn't know if you would want it said on air and on recording, so we don't have to talk about it. But he told me about your problem up in ECW. You had some. You got nicked in the head a little bit.
Yes, I did. Everybody's so concerned. You know, I'm so sensitive about my story. I'll try to get through this without breaking down too much.
I didn't know if it was legal to say that word on the air or not. I don't know. I don't know what they allow anymore.
It's all good.
Okay, you want to talk about it, Rod, or what?
Yeah.
Well, you want me? Okay. Rod, well, as you wear anything, you want to tell them what it was about?
George, I want to hear it through your eyes, buddy. Go ahead.
Okay, wrestling fans. Me, One Man Gang, and Hardway Rod Price are working ECW Extreme Championship Wrestling for a certain fella up there in the East Coast. And one night in some building on the East Coast, Mr. Hardway has to do a Hardway, so he gets busted open. And as they say, the clariat is flowing freely all over Rod Price. So after the event, of course, he had to do the job. You know, he got the 1-2-3 on him. You know, that's a given. After the event, we're in a minivan we'd rented, you know. So all of us, I ain't going to mention names of everybody that was in the van. But it was me and Hardway and a couple others and a lady that joined us on the trip. I mean, a lady that worked on the show, not just a lady. I'm just saying she worked on the show. She was included in our group. So we get in a vehicle after the event. Hardway's still kind of dripping a little bit. That clariat just won't stop flowing for some reason. So,
no, I was going to be hard weighted all week. So, you know, in my infinite wisdom, I said, hey, you know what? I'll go a little deep. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, gang.
Yeah, hard way figures he just do it one time and I'd take care of it for the week. But we're in the van traveling and none of us have anything to help him out. We don't have any tape, any covering, anything to help him out. So we ask around and the lady in the vehicle says, well, all I have is these feminine pads, better known as Kotex. So we take this Kotex from this lady in the van with us, and we apply it to Hardway Rod Price's forehead and tape it on. So we're going about halfway down the road. It starts filling up. It's full of blood. So we take it off and have to apply another feminine pad to his forehead. We stop at a mini mart. We all get out of the van to go get our little treats. And these people inside his in his mini mart, Hardway walks in with his Kotex taped all over his forehead. People in there looking all crazy at him, like, man, look at that dude. He's got a Kotex taped on his head. Hardway don't even he don't even care. He just comes in there and gets his gimmicks. We pile back in the van and head on down the road, baby.
That's right.
Keep on going. The only wrestler that put a Kotex on his head. Most wrestlers put tape or a bandage or something. Not Hardway, baby. Hardway puts a Kotex on his head.
Doesn't stop with one, it goes to two.
Yeah,
that's
it kept going,
part,
man. He had a gusher that night. I don't know what the deal was. That's just because he's an amateur. He wasn't a professional.
Right.
He wasn't a professional like me, Eddie. He's an amateur.
You know, right, you really had a Kotex on your head.
Pap spears all night, so yeah, I was going for the juggler.
Jesus.
Wasn't
oh man!
Wasn't that the same night you got your leg injured?
That may have been. I'm not sure. That's when Mr. RVD broke my leg. Well, almost broke it. Might as well. It was a hairline fracture. Doctor told me it was close as it could be without an actual break of the bone. Mr. RVD, Mr. Monday Night, Mr. Break Your Leg, and not even come over and apologize.
Mr. I'm giving my body to you, not worried about it.
Not even apologize to you about it.
No way.
I want this story, sure. Too.
It's the year.
You can tell it if you want.
I don't care.
I mean,
he's calling to apologize to me on telephone since this time, but.
Okay.
Yeah, we were working a show somewhere again on the East Coast. All these little towns, you know, end up being the same after a while.
Yeah.
But him and I are working the match, and during the match, I'm in the corner, and he's, like, toward the center ring coming toward me, and I'm rushing toward him, and he does one of his crazy spin kicks where he has no control over it and caught me flushing the temple. I mean, I went out cold. Like, I didn't even know what was going on. I just dumped to the mat, and all my weight went to one side, you know, my one right leg, and it buckled underneath me, and I don't remember anything until I woke up, and some guys were helping me back to the dressing room, and the referee told me my eyes rolled back in the head, my head like a slot machine, and come to find out, he almost broke my leg. My ankle was all really messed up. It's still messed up from that. And he didn't even come over to apologize. You know, everybody else was checking on me, Tommy Dreamer, the whole crew, basically, Hardway, everybody, man, Yoga, you know, but he didn't even come over and check on me. That dude knocked me out cold. And then the referee tells me he wanted you to get up and take the Van Daminator, that old chair shot thing where Fonzie holds the chair up. And
yeah,
off the corner and kicks it into your brains. He was telling me, he was like saying, get up, I got to do the Van Daminator. I'm knocked out cold. Now, I ain't never been knocked out in my life. In all my years of wrestling, I never got knocked out. That was the first time ever I was knocked out solid cold. Now I understand boxers and UFC fighters when you get hit, man. You just go out. You can't control it.
No.
That was crazy. Put me out of
lights
action.
Lights out. Good night, Irene.
That was it. Put me out of action, though. That was for sure. Had to go to the darn doctor, get x-rays when I got back and all that kind of junk. They put me in a walking cast. I was supposed to wear it for so many weeks, this big old walking foot boot-looking thing. And I'd already made a deal to go to Japan and work in place of Bam Bam Bigelow for this FMW, some kind of retirement match. Sabu was going over there, and it was supposed to be Bam Bam Bigelow, but Paul came to me, you know, and asked if I would take his spot, you know, so I agreed to. But this is before I broke my leg or hurt it. But anyway, I still went over there. I went and did the show. About halfway through the trip on the plane, I just took the boot off and threw it away. And once I got there, I just, when I was in the back dressing room, I asked them, you know, do you have any duct tape? So they went and found me some duct tape. I just taped my ankle up as tight as I could stand it with duct tape, and I brought some lace-up boots because I knew, you know, because of my messed-up ankle, I'd have to have lace-up boots. I just pulled it over that duct tape and tied them up tight as I could and went on out there, did what I had to do. If you ever see the video, you can see I'm kind of favoring, you know, one side there, you know, so it all worked out. I did the one show and came back home, got my little got my little payday, you know, a couple hundred Japanese yen or whatever it was, and come on back to the house. All broke up.
Hey, but that's
hey, Rod Price puts Kotex on his head. The one man gang tapes up a broke ankle and goes out there and wrestles. By gosh.
That's right. We knew wrestling. We were wrestlers.
Y'all, I was about to say that because you know y'all both from the territory area, and gang, you and I kind of talked about that when you called me or I reached out to you. We were talking, we weren't recording. Back in that day, talk about it, man. You worked. If you didn't work, you didn't get paid, right? You weren't out there at all costs. You worked injured. I mean, what'd you tell me, Rod? 6 days, 7 days a week, twice on Sunday.
That's right.
Well, speak and up, hard way, say something.
Well, I'm just getting in here, you know, if you would shut up for a minute, please. Hurt about your hurt leg. Jeez.
You sitting over there with your old broke back and all that. You ain't got no broke back.
You could have put Van Damme over. You just knocked out. He was
just gonna
knock your eyes back around.
He did get the 1-2-3, but he got it on an unconscious person.
Mike, back to your question. Yeah, man. I mean, all of us went out. We all had stings and bangs because you don't work, you don't get paid. So everybody sucked it up. I mean, I think you can contribute a lot of these fatalities to our fallen warriors from maybe partaking too much to go out, you know. And then, you know, it's one thing to be out in the ring, but what goes up must come down eventually.
Exactly. I agree with that. My back in Mid-South days with Cowboy Bill Watts, it was a known thing that this is, everybody would always say this. It didn't matter what happened. You better make that show. It didn't matter if you was in a car wreck or whatever. You crawl to get to that show. If you get killed coming to the show, bring your dead body in there and let somebody get a pinfall on it. That's exactly what they really, you know, that was, they honestly believed that, too.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just the way it was. Once you advertised and you had these shows going, it was back in the day, you know, it was hot business. Shows were sold out. I mean, of course, you want your talent there. You don't want them, you know, lost somewhere. You got to have talent at the show. So, you know, Bill was just strict that way. And you know,
it makes sense. I mean, you got hot storylines going on. You got the talent's got to be there. I mean, you were talking about Akbar when you and I were talking offline, and you were saying how, you know, when I was telling you about, man, the territory days are so great just from a fan perspective, you were like, man, them people, Rod worked with them too, that people just, they wanted Akbar dead in that era. That wasn't heat. That was real. The people kill that son of a gun. We hate him. Oh, it was real. Like, well, gang, you told me the story about y'all would literally have the car running with the bags packed in the car. That way, when y'all walked back, y'all didn't even have to go grab your bags. You just went straight to the car.
Exactly.
To get out of there.
Yeah, we had to, or we get trapped in the building. You know, most of the, just about every show you go to, them old, you know, I ain't saying nothing bad about police or anything, but most times these police just wouldn't really help you out because they're local guys. You know, they don't want to,
right.
You know, they don't want to make themselves look bad in front of their hometown people. I mean, so they would be okay usually from the ring to, you know, get to the back area. But once you got to that back area, they just suddenly disappeared. They just was nowhere around. So when we leave the buildings in the back areas, you might have 100, 200 people back there with no security, you know, and you got to get to your vehicle and get out of that place. And they'd be beating on your car and spitting on you and throwing stuff at you.
Rocks.
You know? It was just every night that way. So, you know, me and we would, you know, if we were in the main event, if you were semi-main or even then, sometimes you had to get out fast. You just missed your shower just to get it going out. But if you was that main event match, you know, a lot of times we'd just have our stuff in the vehicle and my wife Mary would be there and she would have it running, ready to go. And we'd head straight on out, don't stop for anything, and get on out the door and jump in our vehicles, and we had to take off, man. And people was crazy.
They still are.
Still are.
Different way.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the heat. Yeah, the Heat now, it's a little different. It's more geared towards, you know, they're mad about
it. Yeah. Nobody gets mad about anything. It's just entertainment. Yeah. Everybody knows it's entertainment. I don't care who you are. The kid in elementary school now knows it's entertainment.
Absolutely. He can tell you the whole history.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can type anybody's name in on the internet now. You know their real names and everything about, you know, what they like to eat. And how can you be a heel, a real true heel, and, you know, everybody knows everything about you? I mean, in our days, nobody knew us, you know. We were heels. We had a mystique about us. You didn't know if we'd grab you up by the throat or what. People just didn't know, you know.
Which helps out.
I agree. What's that, Rob?
And that helped out with our safety, too, with that mystique that Gang was talking about, because, you know, like you said, people didn't know what you were going to do to them. So, you know, with that mystique, it kind of helped with your safety, with the intimidation factor, where you could
go true.
Into some places and, you know, it was a bubbling crowd where, you know, they were saying some stuff, but it could have turned worse if we didn't have the mystique and the heel factor of, hey, you know, these guys were known bad guys kicking tail everywhere, and they people didn't want to come up to you. You know, they were very shy, very timid at coming up to you, and that's the way it was supposed to be.
Exactly.
Well, I can only imagine, because, Gang, you were in world class, and then so I know just living in that hot box, not literally hot box, but the heat that was generated there. And then, Rod, when you first went there, didn't you, like, you know, part of the story, you jumped Kerry. So y'all probably had to deal with some heat back in the day, especially in Akbar Stable, dealing with fans that just wanted to kill y'all.
Well,
I can only imagine that. That's right. I'm sorry. Gang.
Was always on the Louisiana side.
Yeah.
That's right.
He did work world class, but when he came over there, he would bring Kamala. And I was with Gary Hart, so me and Kamala would be matched up against each other at some of the bigger shows, you know, the holiday shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Against each other, not as a teammate, but against each other, because Gary Hart and Akbar had kind of a little heat, not a shoot heat factor, but, you know,
yeah,
I thought it was something between them. So Akbar bring Kamala, and Gary Hart had me. So that was you set up for a match right there.
Right. But with Von Erich, I mean, it was, if, and I say this with all, you know, if they could have gone to the house shows, if they would have made the house shows, I mean, we had some heat that we were building on, and then, you know, Kerry with no show. You wouldn't see him for 2 days. He'd be out doping.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, it was a good thing and had the possibility of being really something good. But, you know, you got to remember, and then they put me with Kevin. They bring in Kevin if Kerry no showed. And that was that was another ECW night, man.
Like,
you never knew what you were going to get.
Been easier bar fights than wrestle him.
It's funny y'all say that, because when I had Rod, thanks for hooking me up with James. When James was on the show, James was, I had mentioned that to him, that I had actually heard Kevin talk about some of his matches with Chris Adams, and I remember some of those matches. They looked brutal, and I told James, I said, man, I mean, Kevin and Chris killed each other in some of those matches, and James said, well, Kevin really thought it was a shoot. Like, he didn't say exactly that, but he was like, he really went in there and laid it in. It's funny when y'all just said that about Kevin. That's what it made me think of when James was telling me that story. He goes, "Nah, he got in there. And him and Chris, they went at it. It was no holds barred, so to say."
Yeah, you had to. If you didn't, they'd eat you up. You wouldn't have a chance. If you just let them get away with it, they'd just eat you up alive. You wouldn't. You'd just be like a job guy, basically. But if you fall back with him, you was good. But if you didn't fight back, they'd eat you up. I mean, if he hit you in the mouth, you better hit him right back in the mouth.
That's
just what it was.
Yeah, and
they were notorious for getting all their stuff in, and then, all right, let's go home, you know.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Saying, you know?
I mean, Kerry wasn't quite as bad, I'll admit that, but Kevin, man, he was just Cray, he just didn't have no regard for your body at all.
No.
He would, like, you know, drop kick you and just basically, you know, your teeth would be loose after he drop kicked you. But, you know, for me, it was good because I come from that, old, you know, from Mid-South and all that. So he'd do that to me. I'd jump up and just pound the heck out of him, you know.
Right.
So I guess, you know, after a while, he just, you know, it was good, tight, stiff matches, strong style, I guess they call it nowadays. But I liked it. A lot of guys didn't, you know. A lot of guys don't like that. But as long as you're not hurting my knees or, you know,
right,
stuff that's really going to put me out of the business, you know, I can take a shot in the face or something. I don't mind coming out with a black eye or whatever back in those days. But a lot of guys didn't like it at all. So I guess that's why, you know, I kind of fit it in real well and really had some good, you know, made some decent money with them guys.
And it was a fight. I got a $50 bonus for keeping Kevin in a 15-minute match.
I really liked the world class area. I really liked it a lot. Travel really wasn't too bad with all, you know, except for when you had to go down West Texas or whatever, but you know, you'd catch that old jet thing out of Dallas there, but all the travel was pretty much right in that area. You didn't really go too far, even during the week when we just do spot shows, house shows, or whatever. It wasn't really didn't have to travel too far. But
yeah,
like I said,
right
even
there.
Then the crowd was still crazy because it was just all Von Erich country.
Yep.
You didn't have to.
Von Erich was in there. If they were on the show and in the building, it was a good night.
Right, exactly.
The crowd was there, you know. It was good for everybody. But
like Rod said, is if Kerry could make the show and if he showed up in a good condition to actually work.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah.
I've seen him make the building, but that was about it.
Yeah, I've seen it a lot of times. One of the times it really sticks in my mind, like you say, I hate saying things about somebody that's no longer around or whatever, but I mean, it's just a fact this happened, and you know, I just happened to be there to see it, so what the hell.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we was in Fort Worth, and Kerry had a match against Ric Flair for the title, so all the matches go through, and everything's ready for Kerry's match, and nobody can find Kerry, and nobody knows where he's at. Flair's getting, you know, on his way out to the ring, and everybody's like, man, where's Kerry at? You know, and so come to find out, he ain't even got his boots on yet. He's out in the back parking lot. I don't know what the heck he's doing out there, but he's out in the back parking lot. You can see he ain't right. So he comes running in there. He grabs his boots and way, throws his boots on, don't even half lace them up, makes his way to the ring, and then during the commentary, when they show it back, you know, back on TV or whatever, old Bill Mercer's trying to cover it up, going, Kerry Von Erich, he had a flu that night. He had a temperature of 102 degrees, and you know, because
right,
he's out there with his boots unlaced and the wrestling tights ain't even fixed right or nothing. You know, it's just horrible.
Right.
You know,
damn.
I mean, come on, man, you in there with the world champion, sold out, jam packed to the rafters. You can't be prepared for that. Come on, man.
Really.
That's just
Go ahead, Rod. You would say something.
That's what contributed to, you know, the fast fall. Because of Von Erich's no showing territories, no showing these little house shows, just burned them out. I mean,
I just don't understand what, I mean, maybe they were in that much pain that they had to do these things to feel good. I don't know. I'm just saying, man, we'd take flights on, you know, to go to the West Texas or whatever, and they literally couldn't walk off the airplane. I've seen Kerry, you know, and the guys would have to carry him off the airplane. He'd be so bad, you know, in such bad shape.
Right.
It was just pitiful. I mean, this is, here you are, you're the Hulk Hogan of world class. This is Kerry Von Erich, you know, and here he is, can't even walk off an airplane, just muttering to himself, you know, drooling and all. It was just sickening, you know.
Yep. Man, you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? Nowadays, man, you wouldn't be able to hide that at all. I mean,
nowadays,
with social media.
Nowadays, they got that wellness stuff. You'd be gone in a second.
Unless
you may be one of the major, you know, headliners, you know, but most guys would be gone in a second if it happened nowadays.
But even with that though, with Facebook and Twitter and everything, man,
yeah,
people
but, I mean,
would
how
be
you gonna,
taking
how,
pictures.
How is Fritz gonna fire his son? Come on.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Kerry was basically what world class was. Yeah, you had Kevin and the other boys, but Kerry basically was the main star of world class wrestling.
Yeah.
Were you there when David was still alive?
No, I wasn't. Because after that, I was on the memorial shows and stuff they did for him. I wasn't there then, but I've heard that he was really, a really good worker.
Yeah, I was told David was a lot better than Kerry at all. He was really the.
Well, I was there
the
when
to hold the territory.
A youngster in there, even Chris. I was there when they tried to. They was, you know, making him get in the ring and trying to do angles with him, and he was just a youngster, you know. We out there having to take bumps for a darn 15-year-old.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Man. You can't. I mean, he's another Von Erich.
You're out there taking bumps for him, and he's sorry. You know, sorry to say again, but. Chris was living the life of Kerry,
right in his footsteps, you know. But anyway,
Rod, you told me that.
We need to just change it because we're talking about people.
I don't know
them that way. They were nice people. I did real well there, but that was just part of them, you know. And I just hate that it ended up the way it ended up for them.
Yeah, and Rod had told me something when he did the show a few months back, and it was we just were talking to General about how and we don't need to talk about this in depth, but just not just them, but it everybody. Rod, you had made a statement that, you know, at one point you think, you know, oh, you're popping a pill here because you need some pain relief because you know your back's killing you, your knee's killing you, and you got to make the time the next day, and then before you know it. You know, a couple months down the line, you think you're controlling it, but it's controlling you.
Absolutely.
Related to just the pain medicine, not just, you know, them, just everybody, because of how it was back then, and you had less information and related to, you know, long term effects on things. So you were medicating your body the whole time to make do. I can only imagine what that was like trying to live like that. And like you said, Rod, you think you're running it, but it's running you.
Yeah, a lot of guys, I mean, I'll just be honest. I'm not just saying it because of anybody, but I never took anything. I mean, I would take, you know, like a Tylenol or something, but strong, you know, stuff like that, I never, ever in my whole career did I take anything like that. I was just scared of it. I didn't want to mess with it. And I just, you know, if I was hurting, I just sucked it up and kept on going, you know, pop a Tylenol, Advil, whatever, but I never took anything, you know, like that.
All right, gang, I got to step in now. When you broke your leg or you were in the mystery machine and I passed the hat for you, I gave you a morphine pill.
You sure?
Yes.
You told me it was a Tic Tac.
No.
You said, hey, gang, what you do? Here's a Tic Tac for your breath. I thought it was a Tic Tac.
No.
You're trying to kill me.
Brother, you took the little tiny one and... It was quiet. I heard
what
nothing
is,
but
what is Rod Price
it was quiet.
What is he doing that with that in his bag anyway?
I had a prescription.
Yeah,
well,
a prescription.
Maybe I did. I really don't remember that too well because I was, you know, my leg was hurting
well,
and all that.
I
thought it was kind of funny after I took that Tic Tac, the pain went away. I didn't know.
On that gang, other than that. Brother, I can honestly say I've never seen you drink a beer or take another type of pill in my life.
I never was into it. My joy was getting to go out to the ring and do what I did out in the ring. That's really what I like to do, and I didn't want to mess it up.
Right.
You know,
let me tell you.
That's why guys didn't like really riding with me play to the matches and stuff, because if we had to be there 1 hour before, I was there 1 hour before, you know, or whatever the rules were. I was always in that dressing room. So, guys, you know how guys were, oh, man, we'd show up right at bell time and crazy stuff. I could not do that. I mean, if I was told to be there 2 hours before, I was there 2 hours before. That was just instilled in me way, way early, you know, that that's the way it was going to be in the business, and you should do it that way.
Well, it was a job. Exactly. And, you know, when your employer told you to be somewhere, you know, at a certain time.
Yeah, but you know
did.
The guys didn't do it, man. They'd show up, but they, you know, like I said, it'd be bell to be ringing if some of them show up.
Oh, I know. I know. And, but I was like you, George. If I was going to be somewhere, then I wanted to be there and know what was going on. And
oh, exactly.
Because you know how many changes happened there in that last hour. So
I don't want to have to rush to put my gear on, you know, because
no.
I got tape I need to put on this or whatever. I don't want to rush, man. I want to get my finish and understand what's going on and, you know, just relax a little bit before it all gets going. You know, some of them guys just didn't care. They wanted to hang out the last second and then come in the building. I just never understood that.
It's always best to be early. I mean, that's the best way to go out.
Yeah, we understand that, but it was that way every single night. You'd always have guys that show up right at bell time, you know. Just never understood how they got away with it, but they did. They did it, you know. So.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things done I didn't understand, but.
Oh, man.
I'll say it is, though, for Bill Watts, you didn't do it because Bill Watts fined you. If you went in there 1 hour before bell time, he'd fine you $500. You can't afford that.
Nope.
Good for him. Shoot.
Well, yeah, he has to. Yeah, come on, man. If you don't, you know how professional wrestlers are, man. They're going to take advantage of you. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
If you don't run a tight ship like Vince McMahon or whoever, but back in the day, Bill would find the heck out of people. He didn't care who you were. It didn't matter if it was a junkyard dog or it didn't matter who it was. He'd find the heck out of them if he didn't show up on time or broke one of his rules about kayfabe and all that. He was really, really serious about kayfabing with baby faces or baby faces with heels or anything like that. You better never do that. You'd be kicked out in a second.
That's what
man,
led
when
to
I
the
was
success
a kid
of the territory.
What Gang's talking about, if you broke kayfabe, when I was a kid in New Orleans, they had a mall, and I remember, it seems like I remember some angle with Junkyard Dog was blinded. Man,
right,
Junkyard Dog was in the mall walking around with somebody with a thing over his eyes, like he was blinded in real life.
Exactly.
And, man, I mean, I remember seeing that as a kid going, holy crap, he's really blinded.
Right.
Damn. But literally, there's somebody, Junkyard Dog, walking around in New Orleans East Mall, the Plaza Mall, that's not there anymore since Katrina. He's walking around the mall. He's really blind.
Right. Well, you had to because they showed that angle on TV. I think the Freebirds blinded him. They did an angle Freebirds blinding him. And, I mean, once they show that on TV, if you don't go out with that gimmick on your eyes, I mean, how is that going to look, you know? I mean, how are you going to explain that? Well, I just saw a Junkyard Dog blinded on TV. He's walking around with nothing. He's normal. You couldn't do that, man, because people had built it so that the people believed it so much, it didn't matter what played on that TV, that the fans watching it honestly believed it, you know? That's what got Junkyard Dog, you know, over so big at that time, you know? The people they honestly, truly believed everything they saw in Mid-South Wrestling.
Yep.
I was a kid, but I felt like, damn, he's blind.
So when he comes up, you figure when he finally has his big rematch against, you know, the Freebirds or Michael Hayes, once he gets healed up or whatever, what's people going to do, man? If they see him walking around all messed up like that, what they, oh, man, I got to go pay to see this. Man, Junkyard Dog is going to go against that dude that blinded him. We got to go see that. There you go.
That's right. Break the penny bank. Let's go.
That's it. Exactly. Go get that $5 for that ringside ticket.
That's right.
That's about what it was back then.
Yeah.
Now it's $50.
Man, probably more than that.
Ain't that crazy?
Man.
And you know, the difference now is the fans that watch it, they leave after, and when they leave, they start complaining, oh, well, the guy didn't do this, and I wish somebody would have been booked like this. They're not complaining about actually the wrestling. They're complaining about how
they
book
that. But then the next time they come to town, they're there again.
Yeah.
I say that all the time because, like, people will tweet my podcast and on Facebook, they'll tweet the show and they'll go, yeah, Raw was terrible and this was sucked and that sucked. And I tell them, I reply back all the time, yeah, you're telling me all that, but You're going to be right back watching on Monday night for the 3 hours from 7 o'clock
yeah,
to 10.
I love how the fans can book everything nowadays. They get online and they're like, man, Vince should be booking this way, and he should be doing
yeah.
this. Boy, he should be using this guy better. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you get CM Punk back.
$1 billion company, and these guys, these fans are going to want to book it. They got
it's just insane. I'll tell you what we want. It should be ran like this.
Yeah, we want this match.
Yeah.
You're going to do it this way. It's insane. The wrestling world nowadays is just insane. I don't even know. I guess that's why I didn't survive in it. I couldn't. Maybe I couldn't. I don't believe I could make the change.
No, it was started at ECW. Remember Dreamer?
Well,
whatever
man,
you know
man,
about wrestling,
man.
Forget.
Yeah,
he
basically told me right to my face, whatever you ever learned in wrestling, just forget it.
Wow.
Now, because me and Rod, we had to do they were doing a pay-per-view, and me and Rod Price was tag-teaming up, and we had to go out before the show in a dark match and have a match with Nova, and I ain't sure, it might have been the Amish Roadkill.
Yeah.
We had
right.
a tag team match before the actual pay-per-view just so they could get their microphones and all the equipment sounds, you know, sound checks and stuff set up. I told Tommy Dreamer, I said, Dreamer, I ain't never in my life done a dark match like this on a pay-per-view. I've always been somewhere on the card. And Dreamer's like looked at me just all crazy looking and said, gang, this is ECW. Just whatever you learned in pro wrestling, just forget it. I still tell him that to this day when I see him at a signing. I said, Dreamer, you remember when me and Rod had to do that dark match? You told me just to forget everything. That was just insane.
Yeah.
I mean, here you got
that is crazy.
Here you got two name, you know, known stars, you know, and you putting them out there in a dark match to do a sound check.
And I don't think we shouldn't even call it a dark match because I don't think they did any filming.
No, they didn't film it, but I just say dark match because it wasn't on the pay-per-view. Basically, just a match so they do the sound check and get their equipment right. That was pitiful.
We were.
Well, I actually was going to ask both of y'all because I knew y'all were up there at that point in time how it was during your time at ECW and if y'all had anything y'all wanted to talk about related to that, but I guess y'all just covered that part with
that
story.
My actual time there was enjoyable. All the guys were respectful.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole time there was really good. I just had that one little trouble with Van Damme. Rest of the guys, I didn't have no – I did have trouble with one guy.
Balls.
Yeah, Balls Mahoney. I had a little trouble with him. But other than that, I mean, all the dudes were respectful, man, and, you know, they wanted to ask you questions or something, but – other than that, I mean, I didn't have no trouble with Paul or anybody else. You know, my money was always good and never
right.
had no bounced checks or anything. So other than that, that's all you can ask for, you know, until my last time I was supposed to went up there and I didn't get a plane ticket. Now, you know, then that was just it. I went to New Orleans to fly out. I walk up there and asked, you know, usually they had a reservation, you know, plane tickets paid for. You know,
yeah.
I get my name and there's no plane ticket. So I guess Paul's figuring I'll pay for it on my end, but I'm not going to do that, you know, because I'm going to get reimbursed for it. So I just turned her. Well, I didn't go back home. My wife dropped me off. You know, she was gone, and this is why we didn't have no phones to call each other. So I just sat at the airport. I called home, and, you know, the machine picked it up. I told her what happened on the machine, and it was hours and hours later she finally showed up and picked me back up, you know, but. You know, that was my last time. That was my last time there. I never went back after that. So,
yeah, that started after when they rolled over to the TNT,
TNN or whatever it was.
Yeah, Nashville Network thing.
TNN. Or,
yeah.
And
it's because they calmed down on, you know, what made ECW was the difference in violence and whatever. And then they started calming it down for this new channel. And, well, I tell you what, the fans really hated it. Really hated it.
Because they used to have violence and just craziness from them. And then once you got to Nashville Network, you got to watch your P's and Q's, and it was just a whole different show then.
Right. Absolutely. It really diluted them.
So, I mean, you got, I'm just saying, you know, I ain't saying nothing bad. I ain't mad at nothing. But here we are, me and Rod, we're there. We very, very seldom even get on TV, hardly ever. We do house shows for them, but, I mean, we very seldom get on TV. But then they bring in Sid Vicious, a man, he's on everything. He's doing the pay-per-views and on TVs and everything, you know. Now, here's me and Rod. We can't get on a TV for nothing.
I remember Rod when you were there, and by that point you and I probably seen each other all the time at the gym, and I was like, God damn, they never put him on TV. And that next week I remember you're on TV and putting over Van Damme. I hadn't seen you in weeks, maybe months at that point, but I definitely recall that.
I still get fans question me now, man. Was you in ZCW? I don't remember you being there. Because I never made the TV. Because he wanted to put his own talent on there, which I can understand, but, you know, using us on house shows, at least put us on there, you know, a couple little times just so, you know, you possibly go to house shows and people know who you are, you know? I mean, I've been off of TV a good while, so people, you know, people forget, you know?
You bet.
But Paul didn't want us on TV for whatever reason. We did a couple little run-ins or something, but other than that, we were hardly ever seen, if ever, on TV. But we did house shows, but other than that was about it.
Yeah.
You know what, Rod, I recall from you the TV that you were on. It always seemed like New Jack was stapling you in the head.
Seemed like.
Yeah, that was my gimmick. That's the Kotex.
That's why I said that. I was like, now that I think about it, damn, Rod, you were all, yeah. I don't say that to be mean or funny. I just remember that. It's like it's sticking in my mind now.
That's the truth, man. If I was on TV, I was gashing my head for New Jack.
Exactly. I always wondered, you know, I mean, I never had no problem with New Jack. I know a lot of guys has, you know, in the past, but I never did. But I always wondered, man, if they would have took that darn cart and all his gimmicks away, I just wonder if he could have really survived in the ring.
No, because of, you know, that was like the Sandman. He had his gimmick, and New Jack had his. You take away the beer and the stick away from Sandman, he's just another guy.
Yeah, you're right. Man, New Jack coming out, and New Jack didn't really have much regard for your head either. He'd waylay you with him gimmicks, too.
Yeah, he had to beware.
Yeah, you had to beware for sure. Ain't no doubt about that.
Heads up is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh.
I mean, ain't no doubt about that.
Hey, Rod, I was telling... I was telling Gang the story when we were talking last week when we were setting everything up, that Gang started telling me about how he couldn't see real good without his glasses on. He's talking about a story about a guy that he was working with somebody, and the guy was like, "Hey man, look how beautiful that woman is on the front row." And Gang's like, "I can't see that woman on the front row. What are you talking about?" So I was telling Gang about a story. I'm telling this because I had told you this one time. I was in a six-man with Gang, and he went to pull back a chair because he didn't realize it was me, and I had to literally yell while we were on the floor, "Gang, don't swing!" And he started laughing about the story. I remember telling you that, and you were like, "Yeah, you gotta be mindful of that."
Yeah.
When the glasses went off and Gang started squinting, everybody in the ring was nervous.
That's
right. We used to.
He may go crazy, grab a chair, and hit all of us. You know.
We used to have a running joke with Hacksaw Jim Duggan because he wore those big old glasses too. Him and I'd get in the ring and start beeping each other like trucks back up, you know, beep beep beep, so we could find each other. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's horrible to be in the ring with bad vision. It's just a horrible thing.
I can't see without my contacts on, so I couldn't imagine being in a ring.
Exactly. I mean, I couldn't do any. I was scared to do anything from the second rope or anything because I couldn't judge distance. You know,
right.
I'd jump off of somebody with an elbow. I'd kill them. I just couldn't judge distance because if I look down at them and everything's just blurry, I can't really judge what's going on. So I always tried to keep close contact with everybody.
Oh yes, you did.
But I mean, it also made for a dangerous situation with fans too.
Yes,
I mean, fans reach out for me, or somebody comes at me with a knife or something like that, I have no idea. I can't see them, you know. So that was always a dangerous situation in that respect, you know. That's why a lot of times I would come out of the ring and grab a ringside chair and make my way back to the dressing room with a chair, because just in case something happened on the way, at least I got a chair to protect myself.
Right.
Well, it's funny you say that. Rod, I think you saw this video. I got a video of you, gang, clocking a security guy with a chair because you thought he was somebody that was either a fan jumping the barricade or somebody that was working. I'm not going to post it on your wall because I know you don't like that. But Rod, have you seen that? I don't know if you commented on it when I put it on my page one day. But it's a security guy outside the ring.
I think I commented, too bad it wasn't James Beard.
James was a heck of a referee, but man, he favored them baby faces.
Oh, man,
you go to Florida, try to get a little break to catch some wind, he'd start fast counting you. Man,
boy,
you know he's counting. He's starting at 7.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy. Oh boy, where's James at? Let's get him to call in so he can defend himself.
Well, you know, if you look at all James' pictures, you know, he's always covered and smothered in baby face.
Always, always. The heels couldn't do nothing, man. We'd try to get heat on somebody, he'd jump us right away, man. He'd be right in our faces.
It was like trying to get heat with Bronco out there. It just wasn't going to happen.
Somebody put something up about Bronco Lubitsch, and you know, I made the statement. I said, "Man, Bronco hated to go down the count. We used to pull a rib on him. We'd, you know, go down for the cover for a 1-2. We'd kick out, and then we'd get back up, go back down 1-2. Bronco had to count. He got so mad, man. He hated us. Come on, guys, quit doing that, man. That ain't right. He got so bad, he just count with his foot. He wouldn't even go down."
Yeah.
He just tapped his foot, 1-2.
He was mad at y'all.
Bronco was class, though. He was class act.
Absolutely.
Didn't he pass away?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay. I can't remember when, man. It feels like it's almost 10 years ago now, but who knows? I lose track of time. But
that's what I do, man. I'll see dates of when guys passed away, and I'm like, man, that much time's went by already. It's unbelievable.
I know.
It's crazy. We're talking about fans and stuff, man. I mean, back in Mid-South, Florida, places like Territory Days, man, your car would get beat up. I've had my tires cut by fans. I've had, you know, windshield broken by fans. Had junk thrown at my house and bottles thrown at my vehicle driving down the street, you know. Almost hit Mary in the head one night. Was leaving New Orleans, and somebody threw like a big giant Gatorade bottle, one of those glass ones before they had plastic ones, and almost smashed in the side and come in the window and hit her in the head. You know, if I wouldn't have pulled out of the lane and hit a car beside of me, I had to hit the car. You know, it would have probably smashed in, you know, smashed her. But it's just, you know, fans were just insane, I'm telling you. I mean, they hated you and they didn't care. They was going to get you one way or the other.
Yeah.
What was some of the worst, for both of y'all, what was some of, like, the worst towns related to, you know, dealing with fans?
Worst towns for me back in the day was New Orleans at that downtown arena.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's still bad.
Or whatever. That was probably the top of the list for me was that place. It was just, once the matches were over and you went out back, it was just crazy with people throwing stuff at you and junk. And it wasn't that bad. It was still that bad in the arena, too. I mean, it was just that bad, too, especially if you was say in the main event with Junkyard Dog on a heated angle, it was really, really a dangerous place. Because, man, everybody at the Dome, everybody.
They love the Dog, man.
Love JYD. And I ain't just talking about white people either.
No.
No, we talked about that. I mean, I'm not afraid to say it, but that this is true. Junkyard Dog wrestling traditionally was not a business where you had maybe a ton of African American fans or even African Americans in the sport. But JYD, he drew African American fans, and it's not racist to say that. He drew African American fans to the building in droves.
He honestly did.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we'd go up into Arkansas and Mississippi, some of those small little towns, and honestly, 95%, maybe more than that, percent of the house would be, African-American people,
Right.
And now, I mean, you just never really saw that anywhere. You may have, wrestlers on your team or in that territory, that's African-American, but they just didn't draw their people like Junkyard Dog did. Junkyard Dog's people really came out and put money down to come and see him.
Absolutely.
And they loved that man. They'd get that chant going, and all that for him. And, heck, I mean, you ever watch his interviews, he'd get on there and talk about all that crazy stuff, ham hocks and this and that, just.
Yeah.
And then people talking loved the that, language. Man. Yeah, and people love it. I mean, honestly love that. And people went crazy for that man. It's just unless you was out there or been in that area and seen that, you could say that. But, I mean, them people honestly loved JYD.
Yeah. Yep.
They had an emotional investment in it.
They sure did, that's for sure. You ain't joking about that.
That's what drew them in, man.
He did draw him in too.
He could pass. I figured you were gonna say that.
That's
building
what made him so good too. He crossed both lines where he'd draw white people and he would draw African Americans also.
Right.
He'd draw on everybody. So when
absolutely.
You do that, you selling some serious tickets.
You got that right.
Yeah. If you were lucky, I say the lucky heel is lucky because, you're going to make some good paydays from working with him, but unlucky because you got to fight all these fans every night. to get out of the rain to get to the dressing room is just basically a fist fight sometimes,
Good or bad.
So.
I had a feeling you were going to say that building. Rod, what was like one for you?
I never had much love or connection with Oklahoma people, for whatever reason, man.
Look at yourself.
I have two police escorts out of Ardmore,
Oklahoma. People love you.
Well, I know they love Chris, and I broke Chris's ribs in Ardmore, Oklahoma. We were setting up for the show. Worked Friday night early. Went to Ardmore, Oklahoma. It was only, I don't know, maybe a couple hour shot up there, and he was pumping a tough man contest in one of these bull riding arenas. So, and they had a good house, and he was promoting that, and had it set up. I was going to go shoot in and jump, and it was supposed to be. Before the match got started, but time just didn't allow it. So the match had kind of started, wasn't really, just in its infancy. And I shot in and I jumped on Chris. He was going to take some heat and do a little super kick and, jaw and then set up for the next day. But I shot him in and happened to be in a boxing ring. And when Chris hit the ropes, man, he flew out of there like a bird and crashed right in the ground, right in a big old hump of clay and bull turds and whatever, and ended up breaking two of his ribs.
Oh.
And dude, I had to finish the tough man contest as a referee. Chris couldn't go on. I had heat with the two guys that were in the ring, all the fans that were around, and they were just waiting on me to, you know, make a bad call, do something, you know, just a little, and they were going to come in. I mean, they were at the gate. So
well,
I tried to.
Well, you saying you and Chris were working, but the tough man was actually a shoot match, not a work match.
Yep, tough man turned into a shoot.
No, I mean that's what it was from the start, like a UFC shoot match, right?
Yeah. That's
what it was. That's why I'm getting a little. I understand what you're saying, but I was saying, you know, I understand you were working, Chris, but I was saying, as a tough man, that's a shoot match, not a work match, you know?
Right.
And you were refereeing it.
When that match was over, I had two Ardmore. Actually, I had two, and I had two deputies behind them, and they snatched me out of that ring, threw me in the back of their car. And my ride was right there next to us. He was in the middle. And they drove me all the way out to the state line.
Holy cow.
Show. It was
and they said,
I had that experience with Kerry, too.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I'd say that's some heat.
So what, after you threw Chris out and he broke his ribs, you didn't go out there and put the boots to him?
Dude, he was out in the middle of the crowd, and this crowd was angry. They were angry.
So what happened to the finish of the match?
They were surrounded. They had surrounded the ring, and security had jumped in, and then the cops came in. And once it calmed down enough, that's when the cops snatched me and took me out.
So what was the finish of the match? A count out or something?
Yeah, disqualification.
Okay. So what I mean, what when you threw him in, the ropes broke or just?
Well, you know, boxing ring.
Yeah, they got those
tied,
flimsy.
It's not tied to the turnbuckle. It's
tied
to the middle of the ropes.
Right.
And that's right where you know Chris is thinking, hey, I'm in a wrestling ring. Boy, he hit that and just plummeted.
Yeah, because Chris always hit the ropes really hard too.
Right.
Damn.
But it was. It's a good experience for the young man.
Was that the early 90s, Rod?
Yeah. Yeah, that.
By running time?
I had South Africa was always a dangerous town. I'm sure Gang been in Durban before.
No, I never went there, to be honest.
You never went to Durban? Oh,
no,
my God.
Man. If I would have been Akeem, maybe, but I never went.
Gang never made it to South Africa.
I never made that far. What was it like there? What was it like in South Africa? I mean, was it?
South Africa was every.
It was white people, though. Isn't South Africa really like, it's more white people, isn't it?
Yeah, but that was for the apartheid. Really took over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And man, it was just them fighting all the time.
Huh.
And everybody that was like a regular local wrestler, had at least one or two either stabs or slashes on it.
Holy cow!
Jeez.
It was.
Jeez.
And you.
I mean, they were telling me, "Hey, watch out for the knives." And I'm like, all right, you know, these guys are ribbing.
I mean, what?
Then
I mean,
about,
right.
Some serious
then about four of them came up
like
and showed
that.
Me the scars, and I was like, okay.
Holy cow. I mean,
yeah, because it naturally, Rod, you think somebody's ribbing you. You're like, yeah, whatever, okay. These guys are pulling my chain.
Yeah, well,
damn.
Well, you're new in the territory, and they're going to come up, hey, watch out for the knives. Everybody cuts you out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, you couldn't find anywhere safer to work in the world. You had to go there.
Well, you know, they were
paid.
You
got a whole world to choose from.
You got to go where the money's at, gang. Come on.
Well, that's true. I mean, if the money's good enough, if you survive,
you
got to survive first.
That was the if factor, you know.
And
the promoter loved it because, you know, he may not have to pay you off.
Yeah, well, my thing is I don't want to take that, that's the if factor. I want to know I'm coming home with something.
You got to live a little, buddy.
Hey, the one-man gang ain't that tough. That was just a gimmick, brother. I ain't out there fighting fans and, you know, taking away knives and stuff. Mine was all gimmick. I couldn't beat nobody up.
I don't know about that. You look like you could hold your own.
No, it was all gimmick. I mean, if I get a hold of a chair, I can swing a chair, but it may not be at the right person. I mean, I might be out there knocking some old lady in the head with it. I don't know. I couldn't even tell. I wouldn't know the difference.
like I said, I got a security guard being knocked out.
Okay, I hate to leave you all on a cliffhanger, but that is the end of part one of my discussion with the One Man Gang, world famous One Man Gang, former WWF/WWE star that should be in the WWE Hall of Fame, along with Hard Way or Rugged Rod Price, depending on which era you know him from, or even the California stud Rod Price. Next week, I'm going to come back with the second part of a three-part interview or discussion with the One Man Gang and Rod Price. For right now, please enjoy. If you're enjoying the show and are a first-time listener, give us a retweet on Twitter if you see it on there. Share us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And please write us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. Reviews help build the audience, like I told you in the opening. Each time you write an iTunes review, it helps our show rankings. Also, rate us on Stitcher too, because that helps as well. I can't tell you how many times, like I've repeated numerous times, that we get messages on the Facebook inbox or the Twitter inbox where people say, hey, I found you because a friend of mine shared you or retweeted you or whatnot. And that's how we're building the audience. So I appreciate that. One Man Gang, thank you again. I can't wait for you all to hear the rest of what I've got with the One Man Gang coming up in the next few weeks. Like I said, just think of it as our treat to you during this holiday time of the year, Christmas, whatever you celebrate. Think of it as our treat to you, because part three will wrap up the actual week of Christmas. That one should drop on December the 23rd. That's all I got, fans. Like I said, I really appreciate you tuning in. Thanks again, everyone. I appreciate Hard Body Harper and the support from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and the mentally irregular Doc Turner as well for joining us weekly. That's all I got. We'll talk to you next week. Busting out.